This Voice of the Arts podcast is made possible thanks to Carnegie Museum of Art.
You are listening to WQED's Voice of the Arts podcast. I'm Emily Bruner, and today we have Artistic Director of Prime Stage Theater, Wayne Brenda, back in our studio to talk about Miracle Worker. Welcome back, Wayne.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
So opening night is soon for your next production, November 4th,
right.
I believe.
We preview on November 3rd, but we actually open on Saturday, November 4th.
Awesome. And so can you briefly describe, for those who don't know what this play is about, what is the Miracle Worker all about?
Sure. It's an amazingly true story of Helen Keller and Annie Sullivan and Helen Keller's family. Helen Keller was born, everything was fine. 19 months into her life, she contracted an illness and became deaf, blind, and mute. And the parents, like, weren't sure what to do. I mean, this was back in the 1880s, you know, and it's like, what do we do? How do we help this? So they contacted different doctors. They actually finally contacted Alexander Graham Bell, who connected them to a Dr. Anagnos in Boston, and that's how Annie Sullivan became involved in this, because they were looking to see, what do we do with this child? I mean, the thing about Helen Keller, she was an amazing child. I mean, she could, she was very intelligent, very quick, and then this illness happened, and it's like all of a sudden, oh my gosh, now what do we do, you know? And just imagine yourself, you have all these abilities, and all of a sudden, now you can't use them, you can't do that. What do you do? And being a child, you know, how do you express yourself? Right. So they found Annie Sullivan, and Annie Sullivan came to Ivy Green in Alabama, and she herself was blind. She had 9 operations on her eyes, and she was a student. And it's like, well, here's an opportunity. Let's see what we can do about this. And so Annie Sullivan from Boston came down to Ivy Green in Alabama, which was kind of interesting. But it's a story of a teacher, of a devoted and determined teacher, an inquisitive, imaginative, engaged student who wants to know, but also she was frustrated. She had, as it says in the script, she's prone to tantrums. Mm-hmm. And as Annie Sullivan says, well, that means there's something inside, you know? And that is. And through the work of Annie Sullivan, Helen Keller was able to be introduced to a whole new world, and a way of communicating, a way of learning. And one of the things that's interesting is reading Helen Keller's autobiography, she learned very quickly. She learned like 500 words in 6 weeks.
Oh, wow.
I mean, she was an amazing child, and through that and through Annie Sullivan's determination and stick-to-itiveness, she was able to open up a whole world of Helen Keller. And and this is an amazing story of family, of love, of perseverance, of determination, of integrity, and you have a dream, make it happen.
Yeah. Well, that's a wonderful story. And not only historical and educational, but also inspirational.
Absolutely. It really is. I mean, when you see all the challenges that Annie Sullivan and the family went through, I mean, it's not just a story of Annie Sullivan and Helen Keller. It's a story of the family, you know, what the family was going through. And think in terms of if a family has a special needs child, you know, so it also is very pertinent and very relevant. You know, how do you work with a special needs child? What are their needs? And finding out what their needs are and really meeting their needs, you know, finding the person and the specialist and the way to meet the child's needs. That's important.
Mm-hmm.
That's extremely important. And it's a story of that as well. And then when you look at what Helen Keller, who Helen Keller became with, an author, a writer, an activist, an inspiration for so many people, meeting all these presidents, she led an amazing life.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing is that Helen Keller and Annie Sullivan became friends throughout their lives.
Wow.
They connected. They may remain connected throughout their lives. And also Helen's mother, Kate, also was part of that. She became connected with them as well. So it's just an amazing story to see what a little girl became,
You
know. And in fact, what we're doing with the play is, yes, the play is about the young Helen Keller. you know. But in the lobby and what we're doing, we're really focusing on Helen Keller's accomplishments as an adult. Mm-hmm. The other thing we're doing, too, is we've been working with the Helen Keller National Center.
Yeah.
And what we found is, what can we do to raise awareness of special needs? What can we do about this? So we're working with the members of the blind community. We're working with the Carnegie Library. And what we're going to do is the displays in the lobby, we're going to have Braille. So people are going to be able to access the information. Mm-hmm. We have a couple of special things also we're doing. And one of the things, we have an accessibility program where we reach the blind community, deaf community, and also the autistic community. Well, what we found through the Helen Keller National Center is we also found we need to add something. We need to add live captioning. Mm-hmm. So beginning with the Miracle Worker, we're going to be doing live captioning for the performance as well. So it's there's a lot of good things that are going to come out of this production, I'm hoping. And just like you're saying, it's a play about inspiration. Mm-hmm. You know, it really is. And it's we've got a great cast, a great set of designers, and I think it's going to be very remarkable for everybody to come see it.
Oh, that's going to be wonderful. And that opens on November 3rd for a preview and November 4th for opening night.
Right, right.
And opening night, you have somebody special coming in after with the Oakmont Historical Center. Can you
tell
us a little bit about that?
Yeah, Gary Rogers, who's the director of the Oakmont Historical Society. What I found is I always like to do special things with our productions. You know, we say we don't do plays, we do programs, mm-hmm. right? Well, what I found, I was wondering as I was doing my research on Helen Keller and Annie Sullivan, I wondered, were there any Pittsburgh connections to Helen Keller? Turns out there is.
Oh, really?
She actually, there was a school in Oakmont at the William Wade, which is now the William Wade House, or was the William Wade House, and she went to school there. That was a school. And it turns out that Gary Rogers is very, very knowledgeable of this. Mm-hmm. So he's going to be, on opening night, he's going to be talking about Helen Keller in Pittsburgh, like a post-show discussion with audiences and letting know that, hey, there are Pittsburgh connections to Helen Keller. And as Pittsburghers love to find when there's a Pittsburgh connection.
Oh, yes.
You know, and to find that there indeed is. And in fact, Helen and William Wade, we're lifelong friends.
Wow.
And there's an interesting story that Helen loved dogs, absolutely loved a dog, and loved dogs ever since she was a child. Well, William Wade found out that she had a dog, but had a small dog, and thought, no, you need a bigger dog. So he actually sent her a dog.
Wow.
that kept with her for a long, long time. So and when you read Helen Keller's autobiography, you can see the letters that she wrote to William Wade, you know, repeated letters and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful connection. And also the other thing that's extremely important is we're working with the Lions Club.
Mm.
And she delivered an opening address for the Lions Club, which I think was called the Lion Knights. I'm not sure exactly. I'm going to get that wrong, so I'm not going to say too much about it. But we're working with the Lions Club. And it turns out that Helen Keller had a connection to the Lions Club.
Wow.
You know, so there are really amazing things that are connected with this, and amazing opportunities that people can not only see the play but learn about Helen Keller and maybe be inspiration for their lives.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds wonderful. And the collaboration with, you know, the Oakmont Historical Society, the Helen Keller National Institute, I mean, that's wow.
Yeah.
That's going to be really cool. And increasing your accessibility for a performance like this is a really good idea.
That's really the key. Mm-hmm. You know, all theaters and a lot of arts organizations do accessibility programs. That's fine. But it's like, no, we want to do more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we really want to reach out to that community, mm-hmm. and also for everybody, you know. But we really, that's in fact the reason we opened with Helen, the Miracle Worker, is because of our accessibility programs. And we thought, okay, we need to let people know about this.
Yeah.
What's the best way to let people know and start a whole season of discovery and of courage and discovery,
mm-hmm.
by opening with the Miracle Worker? And that's pretty much why we decided to do the show.
Yeah, No, that'll be really exciting. Really exciting. And how long is the show running?
It goes for runs for two weekends. So it's the opens the 4th, closes on the 12th. Performances are Friday and Saturday at 7:30. We've moved our curtain to 7:30 from 8 o'clock. We're now 7:30 curtain. Sunday afternoons at 2:30. We have one student matinee, which is getting filled really nicely.
Oh, good.
And then the following weekend, it's Friday night at 7:30. Then we have a sensory inclusive performance at 2:30 on that Saturday. Mm. And then Saturday night, and then Sunday afternoon at 2:30 is our accessibility performance with the signing, the live captioning, and the audio description will be that Saturday, November 12th.
Wow.
Sunday, November 12th.
Wow, that's amazing. And can you describe what a sensory version of this play is?
Yeah. It's pretty much the story and the show as it is. We've just turned down and tuned down some louder noises. Mm. Instead of the house lights going completely out, we keep them on to a certain level.
Oh.
We have a quiet room in the lobby. Our actors and technicians and designers are trained to know how to handle and how to deal with people on the spectrum in case there's a problem that needs to be handled.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is the tickets for that performance are pay as you go or pay as you will. And the reason for that is we want people to come to the performance.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes families with children on the spectrum, you know, you make a ticket and maybe something happens. And it's like, oh boy, now we really can't come, and what are we going to do? So we want to make that performance as accessible, mm-hmm. and as welcoming and as friendly and as meaningful as we possibly can. Mm-hmm. And the other thing we do too is they will have an opportunity to meet with the cast, mm-hmm. before and after the show. So it really becomes a very special event for everybody.
Yeah. Oh, that'll be fun to meet the cast after
yeah.
the show.
Yeah. Including, we do have a dog too. So including the dog.
Oh.
Yeah. We just secured the casting of our dog.
Oh, that's exciting. I didn't realize there was a dog at the show.
Oh yeah, there's a dog on the show, and we secured Cole. He's our dog.
Aww.
And he's cute. He's wonderful. So we do have a dog.
Oh, that'll be exciting. That alone is just worth to go see this play.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's going to be great. Well, that sounds like a wonderful production with a long run time, so you have plenty of time to go see it.
Yes.
There's pay what you can days, there's accessibility, there's sensory programs, and there's a lobby display as well, so it's not just a performance, it's a program.
Right.
It'll be a big, big thing.
It really will be. I mean, we, and also the person we're working with, her name is MJ Shaheen.
Yeah.
She's our consultant. And she is deaf, but she's working with us to make sure that what we're doing is authentic and accurate and respectful,
know.
So she's been extremely helpful. And she also has a real close connection to the deaf-blind community, mm-hmm. and is helping us to ensure that what we're doing is, this is how you reach the community. This is how you reach, how you promote it, what we need to do. And Nathan Ruggles is our audio describer. Mm-hmm. He's also been helping to make sure that we're reaching the community. But I would encourage everybody, you know, yes, it is our accessibility performance, but my gosh, you know, it would be an incredible performance for anybody and everybody to attend, you know, just to really be a part of the story. And we're doing some special things with the production, there's moments where there's silence, where there's just silent, where there's just the two people signing. We're doing that because, again, we want to involve the audience and engage the audience and really bring them into the world of Helen Keller. And from what I'm seeing, from the response I'm getting from my designers, it's working. Keep our fingers crossed, but it's working.
Well, that'll be really exciting, Wayne. Thank you so much for coming in and talking about your show.
Oh, I appreciate it. I appreciate that. Appreciate the time. And let's hope we get a lot of people coming out to see us, because it's going to be it's more than just coming to a play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really coming to an experience and coming to an event and learning and being inspired.
Yeah. Learning and being inspired. That's Prime Stage Theater.
That's it. Okay.
Thank you, Wayne.
Thank you so much.
This Voice of the Arts podcast is made possible thanks to Carnegie Museum of Art.